You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
A few minutes ago, maybe I was short or angry with you. Because really, subconsciously, remember we said?
Yes,
hurt or fear makes us angry.
Yes.
All of a sudden, oh, I'm okay with God. Well, then I see you. What am I going to do? Be nice to you. I have no anger. You see? So people act unconsciously because they're hurt people hurt people. So all of a sudden you go, oh, I've been forgiven. And you come to me and say, would you forgive me for doing, yeah, you're forgiven too. And you go on, right?
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, onto something here with this one-on-one, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how relationships are built too, one-on-one, yeah. Not in a big church. It's hard to build a relationship where in a big church and that's why I'd rather have a small church where we can eat together and have fellowship with one another.
You can also do it in a big church. For instance, recently I was out at Oceans Unite. And I wasn't actually there that day. But I went to an event they had where there's pickleball.
Yeah.
And I got there. Well, first of all, I didn't want to get out of my car. Because I was like, I don't want to do this. They don't want to see me. I remember when I was 13, I was living with my stepfather. And we had an apartment in Austin, New York, and the pool was right outside my window.
Yeah.
I'm on the second floor. And there was a really pretty blonde girl who was the, what do you call it, the pool attendant, the lifeguard. And all the kids are laughing and playing, and I wouldn't go out, and I never did go out. I wouldn't go out. I could hear them through my window, but I stayed alone and sad in my room. Well, you would think that would be gone years later, but sometimes it creeps back in. So this Sunday, I'm sitting in my car. I'm going, I don't want to go. They don't want to see me. They're not going to like me. And so then I took a nap. Then I got up again. I'll just reveal this. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. The Bible says, cast ye not your pearls before swine, lest they trample and I'm underfoot. And it's like I have these little sacred things that happen, and sometimes I'm reticent to share them. Because of that, somebody might be listening to this and goes, oh, boy, I don't believe that. Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. So one time I was depressed when I was younger. I was just came to know the Lord, and I was living in the ghetto of Troy, New York as a struggling songwriter. And I kind of got up. I didn't actually get up, but I woke up. And I said, well, I've got no reason to do anything today. I was depressed.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, depressed sometimes. I'm just going to go back to sleep. I tried to go back, so I started to go into a dream, and all of a sudden these two fingers poked me in the side. I jumped up out of the bed. I said, okay, I'll get ready. Now, that must have been my angel.
Yeah.
So another time last year I was driving along, I started to fall asleep. Actually, I think for about 5 seconds, maybe seven, I fell asleep at the wheel, and this feeling pulled my finger on the steering wheel. Oh, I woke right up. I said, thank you. Well, the other day, remember, I was sitting in this car, and my car, and I said, I don't want to go in. I don't want to be around people. And I said, well, here you are back again, the same way you were when you were 4 to 13, and, acting the same way. I took a nap. Then I got up. I don't really want to go over there. I do want to go over. I'm not going to go over. Anyway, so all of a sudden, I start to fall asleep again. And I swear, it was like it came out, came through the back of the, it doesn't make any sense because it had to be like an invisible hand went through the back of the chair and poked me right in the spine. Boom. I go, okay. And then I thought, now that happened again, so you're supposed to go over there.
Yeah.
Okay. So I, fix my hair and stuff and I get out of the car and I kind of wander over there where everybody's playing pickleball. And all of a sudden, this friend's wife, she'd never know it in a million years, but she's, oh, Red Palmer, because I'm on the radio. Some people know me, but they're friends, too. But can I get my picture with you? Oh, yeah, this ugly old 70-year-old. Okay, sure, smile. We get a selfie together. And that was an act of kindness. And then everybody else has stopped saying hello. And then I played a little pickleball, and this fellow who owns the Mattress Market, he said, hey, Rhett, I got one more bottle of water left. Do you want it? And I did. Recently, a doctor told me that my mouth is dry. I need to drink more water. She looked in my mouth and said, you need to drink more water. So anyway, so after obviously playing pickleball as a 70-year-old guy, I was thirsty. So he offers me. But I'm sitting there on the bench then afterward, and they're playing pickleball, and sitting there quietly by myself. And the kindness, it almost made me cry, you know what I'm saying, because – just these little acts of kindness,
yes,
even at this age, mean so much.
Yes, it does.
I could cry now. It's just little stupid acts of kindness, and And so I sat there drinking my water. I felt like Forrest Gump sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so, you know, we never know what a smile or a simple little act of kindness can do. Yeah. And people don't want to show it. We got our ego. I don't, you know, there was a time when I wouldn't, if you hurt my feelings, especially a guy, I would never let you know you had the power to hurt me.
Yeah.
Now, if you hurt me, I'll go, you know something? You said something that hurt me. Well, I didn't mean it that way. Or if I did, I'm sorry. Or, you know, I won't do that. You know, okay. Then it's off my shoulders. Now, I'm not going to go around like, I really hate that guy for the next 20 years.
That's right.
I mean, you can build stuff up and go, I'm never going to go back to that church. That's the big one. They hurt me.
Yeah.
Go to the person. Don't talk down somebody else. Don't gossip about the preacher. Don't go to the preacher. Say, I didn't like what you said, or I didn't like what you did, or I took it this way.
That's
right. Said, well, that they can either say that's too bad, or, oh, well, I didn't mean it that way. Here's the interpretation, or whatever. Yeah. At least it won't be on your shoulders.
That's right.
And they say a problem shared is half broken up.
Yes.
You know, it's divided, or whatever that saying is, you know.
Yeah, so in the big churches, you have to get involved with the small groups in the big churches.
Yes, you can have small. That's right. Yeah. I was at somebody's house the other night from a church, but it was a small group, maybe like 7 people from that church.
That's right.
And I always told people, you can be in a small town anywhere. You can go to New York City, pick one little grocery store, pick one pharmacy, pick one, and go in consistently. Say, hi, what's your name? Get to know them. Then you go to the pharmacy. Hi, what's your name? The pharmacist, now I'm Bill. Hi, Bill. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. You go back again. Hi, Bill. Hi. Third time, go back. Hi, Bill. Next thing you know is you need a dentist. Hey, Bill. Bill recommends a dentist because you've made a friend.
Yeah.
And you've made, even though you're living in New York City, you've made your little neighborhood small. So you can, you're right. You can do that in a big church.
And you can do that in a big church.
And you can do it in a little
church. I like
that. Yeah. So I like both little churches. I agree. I used to travel around the country, you know, singing in churches. And I would love it when they were going to have, hey, we're going to have a, what do you call, potluck.
Yeah.
And everybody brings a dish.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got all these grandmas that are making macaroni and cheese, or they're making their favorite dish, or they got meatloaf or homemade mashed potatoes.
Oh,
and they're like, whoa, boy, I've come into abundance, you know. Can I come back and sing again next year? It ain't about the money.
Yeah.
It's about the fellowship.
Yeah, it's about the fellowship. Fellowship is so, so important.
It is. And right now, with you fasting now for 40 days, and you're in the middle of that fast right now, if I might say this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, or you can add on to it, and that is that it is relationship. In other words, you are shedding, for now, the world, the ways of the world. Your priority is totally God.
Yes, to break every habit.
Hey, did God already honor it? I met you the other day at a place I've been many times. First time you went there, right?
Yes.
We met at a luncheon.
Third time.
Oh, is that your third time?
Yes.
But I've never met you before, me.
Right, that's right. No, I never.
And so we met, and now here you are on the show, and I had no idea when you came in today that you were going to, that you were in the middle of a fast.
Yeah.
But now I see.
I wouldn't normally say anything, but if it comes up, it's like maybe people can learn from it.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you don't want, it says not to tell people, and I understand it's like we have people that give money, and sometimes I'll go on the air and say, well, I threw in $100. Now, I may lose, I'm losing my reward because I mentioned it, but it may inspire others to say, well, if he did it, then I'm going to do it too. And we actually had that happen where we collected a lot of money for people in need, you know? And so if I have to lose my reward, fine.
It
today,
can be a
you,
blessing, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Because you might inspire others to do the same. We do want to make sure that anybody listening to this broadcast, should you desire to do a fast, consult a health expert.
Well,
at the very least, consult a pastor or somebody. You know, you need water. You cannot not drink water.
Right. We just did a lot of research online.
See, you did your research.
Right. And which is that there is a pastor online that does talk about it. And then another pastor, Miles Monroe, he talks about it. So we kind of took everybody's.
You did your homework.
We kind of blended them together because my thing is I have to have my nutrients. And because I'm healing an inguinal hernia myself right now. So I'm like, I have to have my nutrients. So how am I going to do this? And it's like, and not really lose a lot of weight. So
God can also heal that hernia, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's always healed me from everything. So it's really like he's been, had his thumb on me, holding me down, like, just sit down, son.
Yeah, biting at the bit.
Yeah.
I want to run this race.
It's been a blessing to have, but I'm healing it myself, and I hired this girl to teach me all the exercises. And to heal an inguinal hernia, you really have to do a lot of work. It's an hour every day of exercising and building that core up and building your perfect posture so you're walking like a king. So that takes the pressure off of the inguinal hernia because we're not really taught that anymore as far as even in school, we're not taught, sit up straight, boy, you know. We're all just kind of relaxed. And then that puts the pressure on the front. But I think it came from many years of lifting 5-gallon buckets and different things. I don't really know what it came from because it wasn't lifting something all heavy at one time. It was like a gradual thing.
Well, I hope you get healed of that.
Well, it's staying in now, so I think I'm already healed.
So tell me something about you and the Lord now. So up to 36, you're buying and selling drugs, using drugs. You're addicted to drugs. You have you said you made Jesus your Lord in church or whatever, but it was really perfunctory. I don't know if you know what that word. It's a big word, but perfunctory means like if you come in the door and I shake your hand and say, "Oh, nice to meet you," that's perfunctory, not really meaning it. Just like, well, it's
right.
Obligatory,
right.
You know. Whereas if you're not doing something perfunctory, it's because they really love people.
Yeah,
go, hey,
not really meaning
nice
it.
To meet you,
that's right.
You know, and not say, "Oh, I'm going to do lunch. Let's do lunch sometime," and not really mean it, or let's do lunch and let's really do lunch. And so perfunctory would be, you know, saying, "Oh, well, welcome to town. Let's have lunch sometime." You don't really mean it. Well, hey.
Well, I felt like I really meant it when I got saved the first times. It was just like there was no one to really teach you how to get away from your sin. It's like, how do I even do that?
So you need
the
you
pain.
Need to
actually,
jump.
The pain that was causing me to sin, really.
Well, it's too bad you didn't get involved in a 12-step program. Because
back then, but I was...
You have to have a higher power.
Right, but I was 9 when the first one, or about 10 years old when I got saved the first time. So then I got saved again as a teenager and again in my 20s, and I'm just like, God, when's it going to take, you know?
Well, so, and you have to be a participant.
I would be smoking a joint, and I would be talking to Jesus. I'm like, you know, I need your help here.
Hey, I have a friend of mine. She was banging on her bong, whatever that thing is, in bed.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend sleeping next to her. She's high. And she told God, "So, well, I want to know if you're real, and I will never say this prayer again to you if you don't respond now."
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound. Oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shamed. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to seek and save.
He's our